Good evening, Los Angeles. It's Steve Cato, pooped as ever, and I'm here with Nicholas Miller.
I'm jazzed.
He's jazzed and I'm pooped. And it is the Wednesday, October 4th edition of K-Chung Radio's The Talking Show. I have finished an exhausting blast of woodwinding again, this time for no audience.
Ooh.
Just for the members of Laws themselves. And tomorrow, I'm doing drum machine solos at Primetime Pub, so I'm just like Night Owl Steve every night now.
Wow.
Yeah. But boy, I woke up pretty early. It's a Canada Council grant project grant day, so if you know any Canadian artists out there with bags under their eyes, you know, got to be nice to them.
It was due today?
It was due today. Proud of myself. I got it off before breakfast.
Wow.
Well, I put it in the work. It's not like I wrote the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, right. I sort of like got everything ready before bed, then gave everything one more go over. And then just so I could like actually do something else with my day, launched it first thing.
You know, Canada's a pretty wide country. What time zone do they restrict the applications to?
Gracefully, the Pacific time zone. Whew. Although the office of the Canada Council is thoroughly in the Eastern time zone. It's in Ottawa.
So you have questions, you better fire them off early.
You have questions, you got to wake up early to get them, because basically, I think if you don't get, you know, whatever, it's like every art in these crucial weeks ahead of the deadline, I think every artist in Canada has like one little question they want to run by the grant officer. Not like the grant officer can really get you, you know, like whatever, they can't pull strings for you or whatever, but they can tell you, you know, whether this thing qualifies for that or not, or give you advice on what you should be applying for instead. And so, like, you know, you've got everyone trying to get you on the phone, and you show up at like 8:30 a.m. Eastern kind of thing, which is like real early Pacific. So but they give you till, I guess, everything's in your advantage if you're on the East Coast, because they also give you till like 3 a.m. basically. Like, if you are really hard up, you know, you get to return it at midnight PST if you're really, you know, burning the oil kind of thing. So yeah, which I feel gives them a little bit of an unfair advantage, I feel like. But whatever, you know, I can join the rest of Canada in resenting the advantages of the Eastern time zone part of the country, you know?
That's the only advantage that time zone has.
I mean, there's actually a lot. You know, Montreal, Toronto, those are pretty nice cities compared to the shitholes that litter Canada otherwise. Saskatoon, Regina, turkey shit. None of our listeners are in Saskatchewan, so it's cool. I can say that. But yeah, anyway, so as another one where I am just a little pooped, and I got my booster shots today. I got the flu shot and the COVID booster. So yeah, I'm really
smart
putting myself
move,
through
all these
it today.
Public performances. You never know, Steve.
No, it's true. You know, my friend Neil Young, who's not that Neil Young, but the noise musician Neil Young, has had something that feels to him like COVID, but he has tested negative for COVID this entire time. But it's really taken it out of him for the last 2 weeks. So I was chatting with him via text, and you know, made a little mental note that I should probably try and fend off this shit. You know, see if I can keep myself from getting sick. Because, you know, I don't know. We don't even know what the symptoms of COVID the first time were. Maybe he doesn't have COVID, but he's got the flu, but everything now responds to you like COVID did or something, you know, because your organs got set up weird by having COVID that one time, you know, or whatever.
Right.
Or I don't know.
RNA therapy.
Or the 5G. Did you know about this? Did you experience the emergency alert today?
Oh, my gosh. Did I ever? That was a humdinger.
It's alarming.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. Yeah.
Yeah, that is the point.
Were we warned about this?
Yeah. You know, I think the funny part is that, like, as the media infrastructure sort of balkanizes, right? Like, you don't necessarily get news that tells you that. You know, like back in the day, whatever, everyone read the same newspaper and there were only three television stations. You know, they would have told you on the, Walter Cronkite would have told America that this was happening on the 6 o'clock news and everyone would know, you know. But, yeah, no, it's, I found out about it yesterday and was glad that I knew what to expect because, yeah, it came blaring out of my phone while I was listening on headphones to, like, you know, reasonably volumed podcasts and was like, fortunately was not doing, like, was not handling glassware or something like that, you know, wasn't moving a Ming vase.
Right.
How about you? Where were you in the...
I was chopping green onions. No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
That would have been dangerous. I was just sitting at my computer. I think I was texting with somebody. And bloom.
Yeah.
But the person I was texting like misquoted the time we're supposed to meet later tonight and then said, sorry for the false alarm. And then seconds later, it blew up. And I thought, wait a second. This wasn't a false alarm.
Or it's actually the false alarm.
Yeah.
Because that's maybe, the point of they a knew. Maybe test they of knew an emergency system.
Yeah.
That is an official false alarm.
Yeah. Yeah. It made me think of, you know, there's when I grew up, we had tornado drills in elementary school and middle school.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Which were pretty humorous. You know, you just kind of like all line up in the hallway and like curl in a little ball against the wall.
Uh-huh. And get prepared for like the doors to be blown off and you would be sucked out the hallway like Boba through a straw or something like that or something like,
you know, it seemed really protective as a young person, but as an adult you're like, that, I mean, I guess just if things are getting whipped around but it's not strong enough to pick you up, then you're good. But
yeah,
better to be hit in the back than the front of the abdomen just because of internal organs.
I guess
organs.
That's true. Yeah.
But you know, the back's not that protective either.
No, you can get really messed up through that too.
Yeah.
Geez. Possibly it's just to make everyone feel good, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's you can't underestimate the value of that from a governmental standpoint, you know, just being like,
sure.
Well, does the population feel safe?
I feel like
that'll have to do.
I think it was part of some long negotiations between the school district and tornadoes themselves.
They had tornadoes. Their
we'll
lord.
We'll
the
surf
phone.
Them up easy if you're strong enough to come take them. Tornadoes were like, okay, fair
all
deal.
Right, all right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fair to me.
Yeah. You know, there was a conspiracy theory that the alert would turn everyone into zombies. So it would be a message sent that would, you know, transform reality as we know it. So right now there are people, you know, who have lined their houses in tinfoil and are like hanging out for 48 hours to try and weather the first blast of the zombie apocalypse. And they are going to come out to Los Angeles, at least. I don't know about the rest of the country, but the part of Los Angeles I've been in today, from MacArthur Park to Chinatown approximately, seems relatively zombie free.
I mean, I haven't left the house yet. Who knows?
Maybe it's starting in Pasadena. Maybe maybe the rays come down from the hills.
La Cañada seems like a reasonable place to start for me.
Well, you came. Wait, hold on a second. You're here in Chinatown, so you've made it from Pasadena to Chinatown.
Yeah, so I don't consider something. That leaving the house because it's so homey here.
Yeah. Well, I can hear one of our guests just dying to get on air in the background there. You know, I was gonna set up a segue, but maybe I'm just gonna let our guests go. How about that?
That sounds good to me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a long time coming. I think I speaking for myself, but I'm pretty sure also Nicholas. I've long been an admirer of one of our guests' work. And I'm an admirer of the general kind of creature that the other guest is. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the late, great Belgian artist Marcel Broodthaers and a cat.
Est-ce que c'était un bon tableau, celui-là, qui correspond à ce que vous attendez de cette transformation toute récente qui va... du conceptual art à cette nouvelle version d'une certaine figuration, pourrait-on dire. Vous croyez? Cependant, cette couleur rappelle quand même nettement la peinture qu'on faisait au moment de l'art abstrait, n'est-ce pas? Êtes-vous certain que ce n'est pas un nouvel académisme? Oui, mais s'il s'agit d'audace, c'est tout de même une audace contestable. Il s'agit tout de même de marché. Ben, il va falloir les vendre, ces tableaux. Que feront les gens qui ont acheté les choses précédentes? Vont-ils les revendre? Ou bien continueront-ils... Que pensez-vous? Parce que, en ce moment, beaucoup d'artistes se posent la question. Alors, fermez les musées. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. This is not a pipe. This is a pipe. Pipe is not. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. This is not a pipe. This is a pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. Ceci est une pipe. Ceci n'est pas une pipe. Ceci est... une interview recueillie au musée d'art moderne département des Aigles, 12 Burgplatz à Düsseldorf. Ceci est une interview recueillie au musée d'art moderne département des Aigles, 12 Burgplatz à Düsseldorf.
Wow. Yeah.
See what I did there? Meow.
Oh, meow. That's funny.
Meow.
Yeah, I thought with the lead in to the talking, I knew that you'd been a long time listener or a long time fan of Cat, but I didn't know you were quite warm to the species of Belgian?
Well, just the species of Belgian, so far as I'm concerned. I mean, there's lots of Belgians to which I take great offense.
Oh.
So racist cartoonists, the Imperial Belgian administration of its colonial properties in the 1800s and early 20th century. Don't like them at all. Not into chocolate.
Oh.
I think the men's fashion, I'd keep the men's, the contemporary-ish men's fashion.
Yeah, what about waffles?
Not into them.
Jeez, Steve.
Mussels, into.
Oh, yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Moules frites, into that. Tintin, originally very enthusiastic. As I grow older and know more about the world, less and less enthusiastic.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
That's pretty much all of it, really. I think, like, we've got the men's fashion, we've got Marcel Brodthers. I guess, oh, you know what? The precursor to Brodthers, of course. God, what's his name? The surrealist painter,
René Magritte.
Yeah, him.
He's pretty awesome.
Yeah, into him too. I think, you know what? I think painters in general. James Ensor, also fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know a lot of Belgian painters, but the ones I do know, I think they're great.
Good.
But yeah, what did you think of our guests?
I mean, our listeners will know I have a cat. I live with a cat.
I live with two.
Yeah, and you know,
beat that.
I can't. Sometimes, you know, Chiquita and I, we get a nice back and forth going. But I got to say, yeah. I don't think I could hold a conversation like that with Chiquita. So that was probably the most impressive part to me, was just the...
Yeah.
Chiquita, I will say, does enjoy deep philosophical questions. Like, she would be into the kind of question of what, you know, is this a pipe? What is this, a symbol? Is it language? Is it what kind of representation is this? But yeah. I don't think she'd answer back 5, 10, 15 times. So I mean, that is a chatty cat.
I agree. I often feel sort of, I think my cats are largely sort of Spinozans, you know, like they believe in sort of like one sort of large undulating plane of reality kind of thing. And I think that they spend a lot of time sort of contemplating that in various reclining positions.
Mm.
I feel like that's like their main mode of philosophical inquiry, is sort of like deep sort of Spinozan meditation kind of thing. I can't say that. I mean, Langley has a lot of opinions, and actually, you know what? Has a lot of opinions about music, which I think is interesting. Wants to talk about music a lot. Listens to music when it's on, and then when it's over, talks about it, which I think is very well-mannered.
Yes. Don't talk during the music.
Yeah. You might hear something that changes your mind forming an opinion. Yeah, things might go differently, and you might want to wait till it's done before you like weigh in entirely. But I don't think... Jeff certainly isn't as... communicative. Definitely. I wonder if this cat was hungry or something like that too. I wonder what the other circumstances are, like, but you know, well, maybe. The cat's actually left. That's the other funny part, was shortly after the recording ended, the cat just like got off the table and left. So maybe they caught into the fact there's probably lots of fantastic vermin available in the vicinity of our sensational Chinatown studios.
Maybe Marcel had some moules frites in his pocket.
Yeah, that would be so gross. Just like white wine sauce dripping down your leg.
That would get the cat's attention.
That would. That is the kind of thing that cats do notice.
I never really thought about Chiquita's philosophical disposition, but if I had to surmise just now, it would be part libertine, part logical positivist, if you could imagine.
Interesting.
Yeah, because she's kind of like just announces measurable states of pleasure. Pleasure is the goal.
Yeah.
Achieving one's desires is the goal, but then it's all quite measurable and binary for her.
Hmm.
She's like, yes, this is where I want to be now. Now, this is me enjoying. Okay, done.
And then like, no, yeah, okay. State, yeah. State completed.
Yeah.
New state. Seeking next state of pleasure.
Yes, yes. Okay, I'm going to go have what appears to be feline sexual intercourse with this blanket. Okay, done. Time for nap.
Huh. Huh. Yeah, I don't feel like my cats are very horny. That's one thing I can say about them.
They don't have a blanket that they kind of like, you know, make biscuits with or whatever.
Kneading?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not sex.
Well, when Chiquita does it with this particular blanket, she drools and closes her eyes. So that seems sexual.
I think you still have to engage like the groinal zone. Cats are, I think kneading just feels good. You know, like it feels good. Like it's like feels nice on the paws.
Yeah. I guess when I witness it, it feels like something I shouldn't be seeing. Like I've intruded. I've trespassed a privacy.
No, you know, the worst part is like Jeff will vigorously like knead your stomach.
Oh, dear.
Our guest is back.
Yeah. What do you need, little one?
Surrealism.
Chiquita, or sorry, whatever this cat's name is, has decided that it is, in fact, a pipe.
It's a pipe. Okay. late breaking news. And this is interesting. This does coincide with a recently released papal encyclical from the Vatican that cites Donna Haraway on the questions of sort of making kin with animals. It's about the environment. I just got this headline right now, so I don't know the content of this papal document on climate changes, but world-renowned interspecies communication advocate Donna Haraway, author of the Companion Species Manifesto, etc., has been entered into Vatican canon by Pope Francis. So you heard it here first, folks. Not only is Marcel Broadthers communicating with the animals, and I guess also St. Francis of Assisi, who's famous for communicating to the animals, but now, via the conveyance of the theory of Donna Haraway, so is the Vatican in its entirety. So, welcome aboard the Vatican. glad to have you on the team. Here with Marcel and unnamed cat co-conspirator. Hope this is like a great new dawn for interspecies chilling out and hanging out.
Yeah, holy smokes.
Ah! Wow. All right. Tacky shit abounds. good evening, Chinatown.
Good morning.
Wow. Cool.